Everybody ready for session number two? Hey, can I talk to you for a minute? I need a little bit more interaction with Pastor Joey. Okay? I need a little more interaction with Pastor Joey. I need a little more interaction. I need a little more interaction. I'm not totally satisfied. All right? I need a little more interaction. Feedback, challenge him. Just because he said it doesn't mean it's true. Just because he said it doesn't mean it's true. Challenge him. Okay? Well, I haven't heard from you. But I haven't heard from you.
It doesn't work. Why is this so important? Because this is the way people are wired. And people will follow leaders who lead this way. That's why it's important. You don't even have to make them follow you. They will follow you even though they don't like you a lot. And in fact, if they didn't like you initially, they'll end up loving you because you're meeting their values. It's that simple. So initially, they may not like you, and they may actually like you, but if you don't lead based on this, they will one day be confused and might actually hate you. Because they're going to be confused. They don't know why he's making that decision. But if it's based on values, there's nothing to discuss. I remember in the Christmas, and I say this, I hope I don't sound self-serving, but this made my year last year. When three of the pastor's wives came up to me and said, I really like the thought that you are our husband's boss. And all three of them came together. And they said, because our husbands come home on time. And there is a life. We have a life. And the reason why, and I didn't say this to them, but in the back of my head, I thought, that is very clear to me as a value. That I'm trying to create an atmosphere where people deliver their values. I'm not going to shortchange the organization, but I'm not going to steal their values. That's the job of a leader. The leader is to create values without losing values. That's what forced markets are. You take someone else's value, you're taking an organization's value and giving it because you made the wrong evaluation. So you're constantly evaluating things before you make a decision. You're evaluating. That's why we have to evaluate staff. Because what we're trying to look at is the value component of that staff. Right? I mean, is this staff adding value or not? Hello. So anyway, it's back to that whole essence of these are overlapping. And again, I like what Carlos said, that this is exceedingly more valuable. And even at the church level, because they're not involved with you, we're not paying church members. We're going to have iServe. I am literally spending hours and hours and hours just thinking how I'm going to create value on Sunday. How I'm going to make people say, I want to volunteer, not because the pastor told me I had to, but because I found value in it. I'm studying 5 sets of verses, and I'm picturing 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds. I'm thinking of 60-year-olds, and how am I going to make these people jump out of their seats and say, I find value in this? Sometimes I don't show videos because I don't think it's going to create value. It's constantly thinking of that. How do I get these people in here and out of here, and how do they feel valued? Why do you straighten up chairs after every after service? So why do you sweep the floor up? Because there is excellence there and people value that. If the 7 o'clock service walks in here and the chairs are already crooked, what are you saying to the 7 o'clock service? You are no longer valuable to us. But if after the 5 o'clock service, a crew comes in and straightens the chairs and sweeps the floors and fixes all the envelopes, what are you saying to the 7 o'clock? You're just as valuable. How big is 7 o'clock now? It's 1,300 now. Now, obviously, that's the Holy Spirit. Obviously, that's God. But part of that is because people feel valued. You will feel valued. You know when you're valued. You certain restaurant that you go to and you feel, oh, this is valuable. I mean, this is, I'm going to come back here. And there are places where you've already told yourself, number one, and here's the power of value. When people find values, they tell people. They bring people. And if your church is shrinking, start thinking values. It's probably because of the way you think. It's a value-driven world. It's not because of you. It's because that's how God wrote it in people's hearts. That's how He is. Clear? Now, here's the vision connection. If you have the right values, and here's why this is so critical. Values plus vision plus language equals culture. That's how you're going to live. Your values and the way you see the future and the way you communicate that. If you were the Chinese citizen, your values and the way you see life and your communication, your Chinese language will equal the way you do life. What is culture? Doing things without thinking. That's just the way I am. I don't think about these things. I just get up in the morning, read my Bible, and pray. That's my culture. I'll run, I'll exercise. I don't have to think about it. That's the culture. That's the value. Why? Because I need this body to get to work, to do what I'm doing, because I enjoy this work. And because I enjoy this work, I'm going to be excellent at it. And because I'm excellent at it, the economic engine will run. And then I'm going to be able to sleep well at night and get up in the morning and repeat the same process again, because an airline pilot doesn't have to learn a lot of things. He has to learn the one thing that he's being paid to be valued of, which is land the plane. Because if you know a lot of things, but you don't know how to do that one thing, you are of no value. Hello. If I were a pastor, my main value is run an excellent worship service. And if I can find other leaders who share the same value and execute at the same level, we're going to change the world. And if I can find a discipleship pastor who can do the same thing, I don't need 10 things I should know. I need to know 3 things that I'm good at. And keep repeating that process. In fact, keep making sure the value of those processes don't change. And if not, they only get better. For instance, if Cricket's job is donor development, how do we increase that value? How do we make sure that that value goes up? Because if you increase that value, think about it this way. In the last life biz for the politicians and the government leaders, we had a couple of senators, congressmen, generals, a slew of counselors and what have yous. At the volume of 44,000, which is our numbers in December, that's the kind of people who now value us. Okay? Now imagine if next year, which by the way, this month, last month, according to the data of Gigi, we grew by 19%. 19%. And not celebrating this, okay? I'm just saying fact, diba? From December to end of January, we grew by 19%, which pushes our numbers to 51,000. 52,000. Right? At that current rate, if you keep increasing value, you're going to end the year around 60, 65,000. Who's going to be sitting there? Now push this forward 8, 10 years from now, where you have 300, 400,000. Not only is who we're going to be sitting there, what kind of team do you need to run that? And what kind of people should be sitting in this room, and how should they be thinking? Because if you don't think that way and you start losing values, this party's over. You're just maintaining. You're just protecting yourself. You don't get it. You'll be out of business. You won't be in the mall. You won't be in the mall. If your product is too expensive for what its value is, they're not coming. Especially if you're side by side by another, if you're selling a pair of shoes that's more expensive and it's uglier, how many of you know you're not buying that? Why are we willing to deal with the secular world? That's the reason why the secular world is losing its sense of value for church. Because they keep saying your one value is integrity, honesty, and truth, and you're pedophiles. Where is the value there? Hello? It's always increasing value. And that's why this grid is so critical. I used to tell my staff here, don't ever tell the janitors to buy coffee for you. In fact, don't ever tell them to do anything personal for you. Unless that's your official assistant, i.e. Pinky to Steve. But if that staff is for the general staff, you don't want to do that. You want to send the message that we don't do that here. That's the reason why we don't have slotted parking space, reserved parking. That's not our value. And if you don't live by the way, you can't fake values. It's just a matter of time. It will show. People will see it. And if you think people are not talking about it, they are. And that's probably why you're losing ground. I keep saying to them, one of my chief joys is management by walking around. I just walk around and try to feel how a janitor feels or how does a driver feel sitting here. And then there's four drivers talking, and then there's one driver says, what's it like here in the day? And the security guards, you know what? They're nice people, but you know, they come to office 11 o'clock. They're lazy. And then the driver goes home and tells her boss, those are some of the laziest people. And he's thinking, I'm giving them 10% of my income. And I go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. Because you cannot fake values. Values will show up. It'll come out of your pores. And if you're faking values, there's a word for you. You are a fake. In other words, you are not valuable. Because you cannot fake values. Values are values. It got even quieter, Carlos. I thought I was connecting already. So this is important. Because there are implications here. And so if the implications, if the words out there, gosh, these are you know why they're excellent? They come to office on time. They work so hard. I talk to their children. Their children love their church. That's the feedback. And that word spreads. And so one of our units does something bad, it'll spread. It's like McDonald's. Don't ever eat at that McDonald's. The toilet has not been fixed for the last 3 years. That's valuable. Especially if I'm holding a kid who needs to use it. Did you think about that? Because to them, I'm bringing this kid to church because he is valuable to me. That's how valuable children's ministry is. Because the thing that's most valuable to them is that kid. If you increase value there, he's going to bring everybody here and he's going to tell all his friends. I have to make a statement on Sunday because of something I said that affected three parents. I said something about Glee being homosexual and lesbian influence. And the feedback is, why is he talking against Glee? As a value-based pastor, I have to come back on Sunday and show them a Newsweek article from the producers who are actually claiming that the whole show is about lesbianism and homosexuality and to influence young people. Why am I doing that? Because I'm correcting values. It does two things. One is, I'm listening to you. You're valuable to me. And number two, I do my homework. What's that going to do to those people? I'm coming back here. And I'm gonna publish that Newsweek article and give it to my friends. And my friends are going to find value. And when the time comes that they want to straighten out their life, guess where they'll come? To where there is value. It's value creation. And you're constantly increasing value. And constantly looking for things that devalue. Sadly, in our society, because of the mindset of most Filipinos, and we're going to change that. That's why we're discipling them. The race is how to race to the, how do you devaluate? That's why you keep cringing when our peso got devaluated again. It got devaluated because people are looking for value. Produce more Pacquiao's and the value will go up. Why do you say Pacquiao is all of a sudden popular? Why? Because he's a boxer? No, people find value in that. People enjoy the excellence, and that's why there's economics. It's that simple. That's why this is critical. And that's why, on a personal level, which is where we're going, you got to ask yourself, what's my personal vision based on these values? How's my relationship with God? Am I barely making it, praying and reading my Bible? My goal this year is I'm going to read 15 to 20 chapters a day now. I should be. I'm older. Right? I should be. I don't have kids anymore. I've got more time. I'm not telling you to do what I'm doing. This is my season, but I'm not stopping. I'm increasing my value. If I'm saying this is valuable to me. I'm taking more notes, listening to more podcasts, reading my Bible more, praying more. Why? Because that's the only way I'm going to increase value. That when I stand up there, I'm not just preaching to you. I know what I'm preaching about. Because if you don't increase value, someone will come along who's newer than you, who increases value. He's going to replace you. It's not because you're older. It's because you've decreased in value. Because John Piper is old. And his books are still selling. And everybody's listening to his podcast. It's not about that. It's about value. Any comments so far before I go forward? Yep.
There was in Hawaii, like 15 years ago, there was a big controversial because of KSBE, Kamehameha Schools Bishop Estate, is one of the biggest landowners in all of Hawaii, and the trustees are like untouchables. And one of the things that brought them down was one of the trustees had one of the assistants do their car wash. That's the one that, hey, have my car wash, have my dry cleaning, all those different things. That's the one that small thing. I mean, it's not a small thing, but that's the one that brought those untouchables down. And
how did that happen?
There's just because the landowner, they just have a lot of land in Hawaii, that estate. So they have a trustees, and they've always been a powerful group of people, and I guess somebody came out and brought that out, and that kind of brought them down a level.
Cultures. Organizations have cultures, nations have cultures, and they are based on your values. And once you have clear values, you're going to have clear vision. That's how you see life. That's how when you look at life, okay, that's where we're going. Okay. And then that becomes the language or the way you communicate. And over time, your children, like I was having a discussion with David about this, my son, about values. And we were talking about product values. And we're talking about share values and all of these things. And here's what he said. He said, Pop, there are five things that you need to understand about that. David's an economist, so he knows what he's talking about. And I'm a pastor, and I'm Mr. Values. And he grew up in my home thinking that way. And he engaged me about products and services. He said, when you look at products and services, there are five key values you need to understand. Number one is materials used. Number two is design. Number three is craftsmanship. Number four is shelf life. And number five is the rarity, the uncommonness of a substance or a product. So we're talking about Ferraris, Rolexes, and I think we were talking about either the Ritz-Carlton or the Four Seasons. You know how David is. This is my son whose taste is always expensive from the time he was born. Joseph wants the cheapest thing. David wants the most expensive thing. And Joshua doesn't want anything. Okay, so Joshua just wants a basketball. Okay, every Christmas, he just give me a basketball. And if my shoes are over, that gives you an indicator of people have different sets of values. Right? So here's what David said. Why is a Kia more valuable than a Ferrari? Is a Ferrari more valuable than a Ferrari? At the end of the day, David, both of these cars will take me to my destination. I don't really care. He knows I'm not a car person. I don't really care. Give me an air conditioning. It takes me there. I'm fine. Then I said, what about a Rolex and a Timex? I said, they're both the same day. They tell the same time. What about the hotel? I said, they're just the same. It's a bed, a bath, and a toilet. And he said, here's what he said to me. You're thinking too much like a pastor. That's what he said to me. You're not thinking in terms of values. The value of products and services are gauged on five premises. One is the material used. The Ferrari is obviously more valuable than the Kia because the materials used in a Ferrari is more valuable than a Kia. The Rolex is more valuable than a Timex simply because gold is more valuable than plastic. A Four Seasons is more valuable than a Days Inn simply because the bed sheets are fret. Okay? I mean, the soap is organic. Number two, it's not just the materials, it's the design. The design of a Ferrari is different from a design of a Kia. The design of a Rolex is different. The design of a building is different from a design of the other building. Number three is the craftsmanship. The way the hand-sewn leather is not the same as pre-manufactured vinyl. Okay, so they're not the same. Handcrafted watches are not the same as automated manufactured Timex watches in Cebu. They're not the same. Okay. So he was explaining this to me. And then number four, he said, the lifespan of a Ferrari and a Rolex, which you hand down to the generations, is more valuable than a Timex, which lasts 2 years. And the memories of a stay in the Ritz-Carlton are unforgettable. And there are places where you want to forget you were even there. He makes sense. Then he says, the reason why is because one is more. And then he said, Pop, here's the reason why when you present the four E's, you have to present the value. And the way you do that is you take a Ferrari and you take a human being. The reason why you engage people is not because of the process, but because humans are more valuable than a Ferrari because a human being's materials are far more valuable than a Ferrari's. The design of a human being, the integral system, the respiratory system, the digestive system, the immune system, the tracts, the brain, the dexterity of his hands is far more complex in design than any robotics the Japanese could figure out. And even an amalgamation of Apple, Microsoft, and Dell computers is not going to come close to the way a brain is made. It's a values-driven world. The reason why people don't engage in Western countries is not because they don't understand evangelism. It's because they don't value people more than cars. That's the problem. If you address that and make them realize that people are not just well-crafted, that people are rarer than cars, they're so rare that no two human beings have the same fingerprints, and that in terms of shelf life, they're eternal. They're the ones you're going to see in heaven. This was my presentation to the pastors. When you present the four E's, you're not presenting the four E's, you're presenting values. Because people will not do things because they're told to do. They're going to do things because they find value in it. You establish people in Christ because Jesus, who values you, is most valuable and he deserves you being rooted in him. You equip people in ministry because ministry to Jesus is valuable. Just the same way as a man who found a treasure in a field sold everything he had so he could buy it because it was valuable to him. And you empower people to go and do this because every single day is valuable in God's eyes, because every single day is a moment for someone to come into repentance to Christ. That's why you empower them. It's a value set that makes you do life. And every time you, if you stay on that path, you're going to be fine. Okay? Because that's where people are. That's where people will go. And they'll align themselves to those values. Or work themselves up. Here's what's going to happen. If you don't work on values and you lower the value system, people will go up to that lower value. And it's, that's our country. Bring it down some more, okay? Let's cheat. Let's be upstanding. Let's be less disciplined. And so you keep lowering that value, and when we see lower that value keeps going lower and lower and lower, and you're losing value, and it's a matter of time before you're out. But keep upping the value, and watch what happens. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Got it? Now look at this. First of all, God, what is that value and that vision for you? Now, that's my value. You're saying God's my value. Now, how do you implement that daily? How am I improving that value? How do I see that worked out every day of my life? When you think about us as a movement, I look at Lifebox and I look at the value of that. That's a tough ministry. Because the numbers of that ministry shifts every 4 years. Every 4 years, the people you reach there are gone. And if you reach them at fourth year high school or fourth year college, they're gone the next year. That's a tough ministry. But that's an extremely valuable ministry. Because that's the future. That's where your pastors are. That's the reason why our ministry is so strong. Is because that's where we started. That's where most of you came from. And so when I stand up on a Sunday and just preach but do not present that as a value to my people, I'm not increasing value. But when I present that to my people, what happens is they support it, they want to rally around it, they want to give more money, they're going to say, wow, they're going to pray about it. Why? Because their children are there. That's valuable to them. So as a leader, I'm constantly creating value. Now as administrators, you need to see across the board, each of these are values. They're not just there because we thought, okay, we're going to have real life now. No. The poor are you cannot read the Bible without seeing the poor. You got to be blind. You might as well be blind. You can't. I mean, the entire Bible keeps repeating. I mean, you read the book of Psalms. Probably every three chapters, there's something about the poor. Even the slaves were commanded to take care of the poor and leave the gleanings. That's not a side issue. That is a major issue. Unfortunately, we didn't have the conduits and the structures, and we had to focus, and now we do. And so as administrators and leaders, we're looking at that thing, and that's not one of the things we do. That is a main thing we do. Missions is part of this. Is the missions. I just found out that the two top leaders of the entire Jesuit movement in the world are Filipinos. I was in Intramuros last Monday. I had a tour with Anson Yu. I was hosting some Canadian relatives. And I stood in a building that was built in the 1500s, which was the mission sending agency of the Augustinians. It trained the first bishop of China. This country has a destiny for missions. That is not a side issue. That is a main issue. You can't go anywhere in this country without seeing that. It's written all over us. These are not arbitrary values. These are not just, okay, we've got nothing, we'll just have every nation. No. That is extremely valuable. That's why we got to fix it. These are values. These are important things. And of course, you guys, I mean, when you think about your value, I mean, I remember the day, Carlos, how many were we when we started the communications department? It was Ado. Did you guys know that Ado was in the communications department before he went? Because we were just absorbing everybody. We were trying to convince everybody we need this department. We were just recruiting. And Alvin Supan, that was our team. Because we value administration. I keep repeating this to the pastors. You're not going to go very far. If you don't manage this thing called administration, you are not going to go very far. That's a very important component of your work. And even though you don't know this, at the very least, you need to have an appreciation for it. I'm not necessarily an administrator. Gigi will tell you, I'm not. But I have a very deep appreciation for it. And even May will tell you, I'm not. People think I'm administrative. I am zero administration. Mayette will tell you. I mean, I'm the most forgetful. All my secretaries will tell you. I am zero corporate, zero administration. It's just that I understand values. Some people think he's like that because he's so corporate. I'm not. If I had my way, I would have my hair to my shoulders, a beard and shorts, and I'd be in the beach. I'm far from corporate. It's not the issue. It's not me. It's the values. And if you run that way, you will create added values. Got it? So ask yourself. Here's my verse in Ecclesiastes on life. Anyone who is among you is the living has hope. Even a live dog is a dog. It's not a goat. In other words, life is valuable. I mean, you may have the greatest thing, but do you have a relationship with that thing? Are you taking care of that? I'm increasingly seeing the value of my marriage. I'm increasingly devoting more time to it. And I don't want to neglect it because I want to make sure that when I'm 80, this woman is still my best friend. Because now there's a shift in values, okay? She's stuck around the family because she found her kids cute. Now that my kids are cute, I'm not as cute as my kids. Now, if your wife's seen you for 28 years, she's seen everything that's good and bad and ugly about you. So I've got to work on that in this season of my life. I've got to create a different value because my value before was attached to children. Now I've got to be valuable to her just because of who I am. Hello? That's value creation. And there's a shift because now I'm dealing with something that's foreign to me. Before, I had leverage and values. Now she eats less. She has less needs. In other words, my values are changing. I've got to adjust that because it's a key relationship. With my children, before, if I crack the whip, everybody sits down. Now I can shout to the high heavens and nobody shows up. I have to create value to make them want to come. There's a shift in my values. Got it? And that's important. That comes along with the balance of everything I do. That's why this is so critical, because it encompasses every area of your life. Because if one of these areas doesn't work, you're going to be in trouble because you can't sustain it. If your relationship suffers, your health will suffer. Your spirituality will suffer. If your spirituality suffers, one of those will suffer. And again, I'm not prescribing, I'm describing, because I don't know if to some people they eat dinuguan and they become the healthiest person in the world. So I'm not telling you what not to eat or what to eat. I'm just trying to tell you, you've got to know what values. If I eat apples, I was talking with Robert Hearn and said if he eats apples at night, he just wakes up the greatest human being the next day. If I eat apples in the evening, I'll be constipated the next day. Because we're not the same person. My job is not to figure out his formula. My job is to understand my values and figure out how it applies to me. If I'm in the organization, I've got to know everyone's values and work within the confines of those values. I don't have another session, but if I did, I'll walk you through times and seasons and how values changes and how they affect values and how you create values over time. But that's the way it works. Okay, so ask yourself in your body, here's a verse for you. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. This is actually a verse that's come to life to me because of Ray Corpus. Talk to me about this. And you know what this is talking about? Food. This is actually talking about your body. Verse 13, food for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for... He's talking about appetites. Yeah, he's just describing, how are you going to do this? And then it's a matter about increasing your value and your thinking. The older I get, I find that my capacity to read is going down, and my eyes are not the same way it used to be. So now I'm researching and trying to figure out how do I prolong my eyesight. And then I found out that there is such a thing as exercising your eyes. And so I'm doing these exercises now where I read a little bit long, and I look back and I look at five different things, and every 30 minutes I'm just exercising my eyes because I want to make sure those muscles still work when I'm 75. But why did I do that? Because these are valuable. I won't have replacements for these. Got it? It's a value-based decision. The axe is dull and its edge is sharpened. If the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. That's increasing your value. The more skills I have, the more I learn, the more valuable I have. But if my axe is dull, then who needs that? Establish a culture that creates value. How? I already said that to you. Decision-making is all about values. And there's that. I'll close with this, and then we can just have a 10-minute discussion. Proverbs 11:1. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are His delight. And the value is created over time and seasons. It's the consistency. I was with a member of our church who said, what's the latest diet weight loss program? I said, in one word, it's called consistency. It's stick. If it's walking, I just walk. Just do it every day. In other words, just be consistent with it. If you find that excellence, just stick with it. If you've already found your zone, if I'm a pilot, just stick with it. Just make sure, how do I land this thing soft every time? And how do I make sure that I do this repeatedly? It's just a level of consistency over time that I build. And so that value is created. There's certain things, you know, you guys go to a certain hairdresser because that hairdresser is valuable to you, especially the women. Hello. I mean, if that hairdresser does not do it, then you decrease in value, at least in your eyes. But the point is you look for services because of those values. It's amazing how much tip you give these people. And I look at how women spend for these things. That's why I had the lipstick, by the way. Who got the lipstick? Who traded the value of the lipstick? Now, you didn't trade it? You wanted it because you wanted to bring it home for Cindy, for your daughter. See, that's a value decision. Because that's the interesting thing about values is it may not look like on the surface it's a value thing, but it is. Because he values the moment where he comes home, and he actually made that value decision. I mean, among all of these things, this is the one she's going to enjoy the most. And that's an enjoy moment. And that's why I made sure it was a Maybelline brand, because if it was not that excellent, he might not value it. Okay? Those are value decisions. It's like, why do you put ball pens on the chairs? I had one of our staff questioning my purchase of, what was it, 40,000 ball pens. And said, why? Because if people start looking for ball pens at that minute that you need them to sign that paper, you just lost value. And that 40,000 ball pens is nothing equivalent to the number of volunteers whom you're not paying. The value of that is beyond your measure. You're not computing value. You're not thinking value. Hello. Value-based decisions is when you look at something and say, that is more valuable. Here's how I often tell, when we had that volunteer appreciation night and said, okay, we're going to spend $400,000 to appreciate the volunteers. I said, how many volunteers do we have? 1,500. 40,000 divided by 1,500. Roughly about 200 pesos plus. I said, is that the worth of every volunteer here? A lot more than that. Then you can decide on that 400,000 appreciation night. Right? Some of you are still computing. You get this guy to volunteer 1 year for you for 250 pesos a year. And he's thanking you and he's telling people, go and volunteer. These are the greatest people in the world. How much is that worth? A lot. And what did you do? You created market forces. Did you impose it on them? Did you force them? You created value and they freely said, I want that. And then you managed them because you were on the ball doing your job and made sure they didn't burn out. And that's why they found value and they kept coming back and they kept telling people to do the same thing. And that's why you don't understand leadership decisions, because you're not looking at it from the lens of value. But when you start looking at things from the lens of value, every decision makes sense. Got it? Any questions? By the way, here's a thought. It is very difficult to transfer value to people in a way that it actually helps them. In other words, you can't just transfer value by doing this. It's a revelation. It's like there are certain things that my children do, and I ask, why'd you do that? It's just how we do life. In other words, that's our value. That's just the way we do it. I remember talking to Wolfie, not Ekleben, the guy, the number two guy in Cape Town. Wolfie. Anyway, I met him in Dubai, and I asked him, why do you do this? That's the way. His response was, it's just the way we do life. In other words, that's culture. South Africans value that. I mean, the rugged life, that's shoot the lion, eat a giraffe. It's like to them, life's not life if we don't eat a giraffe. You don't want to take and force people's values, especially not with your relationships. You're constantly increasing value. I know for a fact that my wife responds to kindness. So now every morning I pray, Lord, make me kinder. Because that's the one that I know every time I push that button, I'm going to ding, 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 ding. So I just have the bullseye. I mean, forget everything else. Just do that one thing and you're going to be fine. That's very strategic, very valuable. And that's why focus is so vital. Because if you do missions, real life, and put that all in the church, you're not going to be able to be efficient and effective. But by separating the units, the guys in Victory can now focus on worship services, discipleship, pastoral services. The guys in real life can focus on scholarship. You follow what I'm saying? You can now focus on these things because each of these units and each of the units within the units require valuation, ongoing upping of the values. And then when you break it down to worship services, your ushers need upping of values. What would happen if you now walk to your church and now you can sign on with a friend and volunteer through the internet? And when you click it, there's a video that says, we're having a great time volunteering. Well, how much value is that? And what will that look like now when you have 52 venues times 10 services? It's about 520 services a weekend. What kind of organization and team, and what kind of value should be flowing through your team? What kind of communications group do you need to make that happen? Exciting, huh? Why aren't you excited? But you see, it meets your values. It's fulfilling. It is tiring. Huh? All that means is you're going to have to reproduce yourself. Yes. That's where team building comes in. That's where leveraging comes in. And that's why you need to create value, because when you create value, people will move in and say, I want to work there because I'm valued there. When people start resigning from your church or for your business, you have a problem. Because people are losing value. When people are saying, you know, you got to work for these guys, you're upping the value. It's like that. I mean, that's you. You would do the same. That's the funny thing about church leaders sometimes is you want to treat people a certain way, but you won't behave the same way. That's how you would do life. You're not going to go to a substandard place. You're going to go to a place that has a high value. Okay, Pastor Paul, I've got 2 minutes and I'm done. Unless there are questions. Huh? Okay, 2 minutes extra break. Thank you.
Thank you. Because a question came up at the end of the last session from Chryso, who for some reason didn't ask it when she had her opportunity. And Joey wants to respond before we get Jansen up. So, I don't just got 2 minutes.
Yep.
Go.
It's her question is if values is a revelation and people don't see it, how do you change things? Okay, the idea is if you have a prevailing culture, okay, you have an existing culture, which means that's the values and the vision of the people, and that's central. That's how they talk. That's how they see life. That's what they value. And now you're introducing a new culture. You want everybody to cut 1-to-1 from 12 chapters to 6. You want to change Victory Weekend. You want to get rid of ENLI and put in Training for Victory. Those are all cultures, values, vision, and language. How are you going to make this now the new culture? Right? That's just her question. Create value here. Do it in a small scale in a lab and grow that culture, grow that value, grow the fort to 11,000 so that when it's bigger, that now becomes the new culture. It's value-based. That's how you change the culture. If everybody values that and that's their culture, that's the way they see life, the way you change the culture is not by revolution, but increasing value, because as you increase the value, it will eat up the old culture. It will change the values and change the culture.